Can you think back to the time when you were a new believer? I mean, maybe everything was new to you, but you were really, really excited about Christ. You were excited about what he had done for you. And you were excited about the opportunity to be able to serve him. And then when you stepped up and said, hey, I would like to do this in the way of service. And then somebody said to you, well, I just don't know if you're ready yet or not. And it really, in some ways, it hurt your feelings or you felt dejected along the way. Hopefully you didn't become discouraged and quit at that point. But the bottom line is, you know, sometimes we get to that point where somebody says to us, well, you've got to be able to be here or there. You got to come this far along the way. Well, today we're going to take a peek at what the Bible says about this situation. If you remember last week, we were talking about the fact that Moses had a chance to be a witness to his father-in-law, Jethro. So Jethro is a new believer. We want to look at what Jethro was able to do as we look at Jethro's plan out of Exodus chapter 18. Grab that Bible. We'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that your week is going great. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages today that come out of the book of Exodus chapter 18 as we continue that journey through Exodus. And if you remember a moment ago, I mentioned that last week we studied about how Moses had an opportunity to be a witness to his father-in-law, Jethro. And Jethro becomes a believer. Well, along the way on this visit, we come to the point in scriptures that we're going to look at today, actually at what our text for today is, where all of a sudden, you know, Jethro takes a look at what's going on with Moses, and he takes a look at how things are taking place, and he has an idea. He actually has this great, great plan. So look with me, if you would, today at the book of Exodus chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Exodus chapter 18, beginning with verse 13, it says, "And so it was that on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and all the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?' And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws.'" Verse 17, "So Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear themselves out, for this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of over hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will hear the burdens with you. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and we're thankful for the opportunity that you give us to gather around your word. Lord, such great advice that we actually hear from the word of God. I pray that if we find ourselves in the position that Moses found himself in, where he just seemed to be so overwhelmed by what was going on and so overwhelmed by what was taking place, that we will take heed to your word today. Lord, that you would show us those that are able, those that are capable of being able to stand in the gap and to help along the road of service for you. Lord, I pray as always that you would truly be with me as your messenger for these moments that we will spend together around your word. May you be lifted up that you truly can draw all men unto you. So bless our time, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see what was going on. Now remember, as we come in to this particular text, the scriptures right before that talk about how Moses had led his father-in-law Jethro to believe in God, to be a believer. And then in the following verses is what our text is today. So yeah, it would have been real easy for Jethro when he came to Moses and Jethro says, "Hey, look, man, I'm watching what's going on and I've got an idea for you. Here's what you ought to do." Yeah, I'm sure at that particular point, Moses could have had a pride problem. He could have said, "Look, man, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm the one who's over these people. God's the one who called me to do this." But yet his father-in-law, Jethro, said, "Man, I'm looking at this thing, and you are a major case for burnout. You know, the way you're trying to do this, not only are you going to burn out, the people are not, you know, they're not going to put up with this very long." So you got to understand from the scripture, it said that when issues would take place, everybody would come to Moses. So there would be these long, long lines of people just waiting their turn to have their case, so to say, heard by Moses, and then let him give guidance or rule on it in accordance with what God's word said. So he was one man, and here were literally millions of people. So his father-in-law watches what's going on, and he's going to lend some advice. So back to the question that I initially asked you at the start of our Bible study is, how long do you think that a believer should wait to be able to serve? I said, maybe you've been in that situation before where you felt like you were ready to serve, and there were those who were like, "Well, I don't know, it's probably not a good idea yet." And it either hurt your feelings, you were dejected, it just did so many things in a negative way to you. Now, you know, some new converts begin immediately to serve. I think about, you know, Saul, how he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, who, you know, became Paul, who became one of the greatest evangelists that we have ever known. He did a 180-degree turn immediately. He started serving. I've often said this to my congregation here at Central. Could you imagine what it must have been like to have attended the first revival meeting that Paul was preaching after having the reputation that he had for persecuting Christians? I believe if I was planning on going to church that night and heard that Paul was the feature speaker, I probably would have found something else to do that night just because of his reputation. I'd have probably thought it was a trick. And I'm sure that Paul put up with a lot in that regard as he began to follow the Lord. Now, when we consider Jethro in our text today, Jethro actually had an opportunity to make a very early and important contribution to the Lord's work. And the best way for me to say this is Jethro had a plan. You know, he looked at what was going on and he saw that it wasn't very conducive for either his son-in-law Moses or the people of Israel. He's like, "Man, this thing right here looks like a dumpster fire. I mean, how are you going to keep on going?" And you've probably looked at that. You've probably seen that somewhere along in your life or your job or maybe even in your church. So bottom line is there was the need for a plan. In our text today, in verses 13 through 18, what we see is that Jethro is observing Moses as he is ministering, as the people are coming to him. In other words, it's kind of like bring your father-in-law to work day. And Jethro's sitting around and he's looking at what's taking place and what's going on. And he's sitting there thinking, "Boy, this is a mess. Yeah, is this the way it is all the time?" Yeah, no wonder Moses is tired. No wonder the people are grumbling. No wonder there are people complaining, because people stood in line to get advice and to get guidance from the one and the only Moses. You know, and the word tells us that they came from morning until night. So, I mean, you got to think, if they're coming from morning till night, then that meant Moses had to be there from morning to night. Now, you talk about a major case for burnout. Moses should have been or could have been based on just what we see right here. How would he have time to do anything else other than hear what the people were bringing to him? So Jethro saw that Moses needed a better plan. You know, Jethro's sitting there thinking, there's got to be a better way in which to do this because, man, this is not working for anybody, okay? The number that was coming was great. I mean, yeah, there were just so many people. It was like lining up. I was sitting there thinking about, you know, how we hear about the Black Friday sales and, back there, coming out of Thanksgiving, you had the Black Friday sales, and then you go to these places or something new's coming out, and people are just lined up in gobs outside the store to be the first one to get that item or what have you, or not even necessarily the first one, just to be able to get it because they know it's going to sell out. So what happens is people come and get in line. Well, this is what was going on, but you're talking about millions of people. Yeah, each person coming needed some sort of special attention, and they felt, at least at that point, that special attention had to be tended to by Moses himself. And here's the bottom line. Moses and all the people were exhausted. You can't just do that essentially 24/7. I mean, well, it's not 24/7, but the word said from morning until night, until all they could go. So all Moses was getting done was going to bed and getting up. And I would be willing to say that probably the people that lined up didn't even go home because they thought, I'm just going to stay right here so that I don't lose my place in line because I don't want to start this whole thing over tomorrow. So Jethro says to his son-in-law, maybe at some point late that night when they had a chance to get home, I don't know when it was, but Jethro basically gives Moses one of the important pieces of information in his life that came from a human being, and that was simply this. Jethro advises Moses that he needs to get organized. You know, he's looking at this dumpster fire of a mess and saying, man, this is no way to go. This is not cutting it. It's not cutting it for you. It's not cutting it for anybody. So he's saying, man, you know, Moses, son of mine or son-in-law of mine, man, you need to get your act together because this is not going to cut it. So he starts to give some advice to the great Moses, all right? Now, folks, here's what we need to understand. Good organization is also needed not only in our personal lives, it's needed in our families, but it's also needed in the church. If you go back and look in the New Testament at Acts chapter 6, you will see when the church began to get some organization when they had some problems that were going on. You'll notice in Acts chapter 6, that's actually where the appointing of the first deacons came about. And why did that come about? It came about because there were some of the widows that were they felt were not being tended to in the distribution of the food. Now, that wasn't necessarily a spiritual item, but yet it was a responsibility of the church of that day. So what happened was some people came and said, hey, we've got a problem. You know, some of the widows are not being tended to. What are you going to do about it? And if you will remember, you know, those that were the, let's just call it the preachers of the church in that day, they said, look, you know, that's something you guys can take care of. You know, is it beneficial for us to leave the study and the presentation of the Word of God to go and wait tables or to go and serve food? Now, that's not to say that it wasn't an important thing. So then what happened was the plan they came up with was to say, you choose you out from among you men of good report to put over this particular act, the distribution of the food, so that nobody gets overlooked. And I love what it said in the scripture in Acts chapter 6, particularly beginning around verse 5. It says that when they came up with this plan, it said it pleased all the people. Everybody was happy about that the problem was going to be solved, the widows were going to be fed. But you also need to notice something else. The appointment of those deacons was to take care of ministerial service within the church. It wasn't necessarily to be the spiritual leaders. And I think that sometimes churches get that part of it wrong, that the deacons are a board rather than a body of servants. You know what? If you want to be a deacon or you aspire to that, then that's an office of service. It's not an office of elevation that's necessarily to be looked up to where people are going to shower upon you things. It's not necessarily a position where you are calling the shots within a church. That's not the way the design of Acts chapter 6 was. The design of the deacons was that they served the people. And I also love that the Word of God says, let those who want to be great among you be your servants. So essentially, let's rewind back to our text here in the Old Testament. So Jethro goes up to Moses and he says, look, man, this thing's a nightmare. You need to get organized. You need to be able to have a better way in which to do this. Now, let me just go ahead and make this statement. Overloaded leaders become ineffective. And the reason why is because they can never spend any time doing what they're supposed to be doing because they're doing 10,000 different things this much instead of doing the thing that God called them to do with all of their heart and with all of their soul and with all their might. Now, that just doesn't pertain to preachers. That also pertains to you. You know, you can over-serve in a church. Now, I know there's probably pastors saying, Lord of mercy, I don't know where you are, but our church never has anybody over-serving. We're begging people to work in different places. Well, you might be, but let's think about that for just a moment. If you have those people, let's just call it a nursery worker, and that nursery worker has to be in that nursery every single Sunday because there's no other help, then what happens is I'm going to go ahead and tell you they're over-serving. And the reason they are is because they are not being ministered to. They are busy filling the gap. They are busy serving, but they're missing out on the sermon. They're missing out on being able to worship with their family and everything else. So you can get to the point where you are too busy serving and so busy serving that you're not worshiping. I love an illustration out of the book of Isaiah and Isaiah's vision where it talked about the seraphim and how he saw the seraphim. And he describes that seraphim. The one that got the coal off of the altars. It said the seraphim had six wings. And he went on and he said, with two of those wings, he covered his eyes. With two of the wings, he covered his feet. And with two of the wings, he flew. Now, when you think about that, this seraphim has six wings. Four of the six wings were actually used for worship. You see, to cover the face was an act of worship. To cover the feet was an act of worship. The other two were used for service. So I will tell you that even though it might seem like it was a minimum volume that was used for service, I promise you there was those two wings were plenty for the service because the other four were being used for worship. Do not get yourself burned out. Do not get yourself in a position where you are so busy serving that you are not having an opportunity to worship. Do not get burned out, okay? So Jethro is giving some good advice to Moses about getting organized. And remember what I said a moment ago, overloaded leaders become ineffective leaders. And not just preachers, leaders, whatever you're doing in the church, do not get yourself overloaded. Sometimes you have to learn how to say no. Sometimes you have to learn how to say, you know what, I need to delegate some of this authority to some other people who are around me to be able to get the job done. Now, another message for another day is that if you wind up delegating that authority, be sure that you give the people you delegate to the authority and responsibility to make a difference, to do the job that you've asked them to do. That's very important, and we can talk about that on another day. But shared responsibility makes the load lighter. It's a simple common fact. You know, you got an armload of groceries and somebody else comes up and takes a sack or two of those groceries off your hands, it makes it more doable for the both of you, okay? It's something that becomes effective rather than remaining ineffective, okay? So, you know, proper organization will increase everything, including outreach, right? So then as we drop on down in our text, we get down to verses particularly 21 to 23, there were those who were needed to work out Jethro's plan. And Jethro goes to his son-in-law and he says, look, man, you need some help. And he said, let me make a recommendation. He said, you find some men, and this is what we get into in verses 21 to 23. What kind of men did he say to find? Well, one of the things he said was able men, those who are able to understand, those who are able to impart God's word on those that they would be ministering to, or in this case, judging. He said, so they need to be able men. Now picture Jethro telling this to Moses. Yeah, you need to get you a bunch of guys, but here are the kind of guys you need. You need guys that are able to understand and impart God's word. You need men who fear God. Okay, that's also in that verse. Men of faith. Now, by the way, fear doesn't mean scared. Fear means respect. The awe, the reverence of God. So you need able men, you need men who fear God, you need men of truth, those who will speak the truth in love, not necessarily taking sides. Maybe you've been in a situation or a circumstance before where a really good or close friend or even family member has come to you and they've asked your advice, and you really were like, you better be careful, because if you really ask me, if you really want to know, I'll tell you, you're probably not going to like my answer, but here's the way it is. But see, sometimes the truth hurts. But he said, you need what kind of men? You need able men. You need men who fear God. You need men who will speak the truth and do it in love, not out of hate, but in love, so that the person you're telling this to understands that you're telling them because you love them. And it also says that you need men who hate covetousness. Ones who aren't wanting to gather things around them, that just don't want a bunch of stuff, because obviously a person can use their position to come about those things that they may be coveting. So if you have people who are not covetous, then what happens is you don't find yourself in that predicament. Okay? So remember, let me run down the list again. Jethro was telling Moses, you need able men, you need men who fear God, you need men of truth, and you need men who hate covetousness. And then he says, by the way, let me tell you what the requirements for these men to serve are. Now, once again, you could parallel this with Acts chapter 6, where the first deacons were called out. He says, here's what these guys need to be like. These are the requirements. If you were putting this out as an ad and saying, we're looking for these guys, here's what you're saying the requirements will be. They need to be men of honest report. They need to be men full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there's godliness in their lives, and that godliness is seen. You can see that. Everybody around them knows that these people are walking with the Lord, and they're honest. And you need those who are wise. You know, it's funny because I've been around a whole lot of people before in my life that have been some of the smartest people I know that are book smart, but they don't have a lick of wisdom to them. And you know what I'm talking about. Somebody's face just crossed your mind when I said that. Yeah, somebody who makes good decisions. So what are the requirements? Let me run down a couple of them again. Honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, and men of wisdom. In other words, yeah, you just don't put somebody in a position because you think, oh, well, maybe they'll do better if we put them in this position. Now, I've said this before. Every church does that. They'll sit back and they'll have a position or something that they need to fill. And then what happens is the nominating committee says, well, let's get old Joe Doakes to fill that position. He hadn't been to church in 5 years, but if we give him some responsibility, maybe he'll be more regular in church. That's not the way to do it, folks. You need somebody that you know that can do the job and do it well and do it as the Lord has prescribed it, okay? And so as Jethro gives this plan to Moses, all of a sudden we see something happen in verses 22 through 27. We see the blessing of Jethro's plan taking place, because it's not just good enough to know the plan, you have to put the plan in action. Now, I will interject this at this particular point in our Bible study. It's not good enough just simply to know the word must change you. Yeah, you can have all the head knowledge in the world, but if it doesn't trickle down to your heart and play out in your activity in your daily life, then what good is it? Okay, so the blessing of the plan is being able to see it in action, and that's what you see in our text in verses 22 through 27. So what happened was Moses chose able men, and he put them to work as prescribed by Jethro. There were rulers for thousands. There were rulers for hundreds. There were rulers of fifties. There were rulers of tens. And it's ironic enough that when you think about this, that kind of reminds you of the parable in the New Testament that the Lord talked about with the parable of the talents. You know, the guy that was the ruler over the thousands was probably one that was pretty sharp on his game. He was able to minister to thousands of people. He knew how to delegate authority. He was wise. People followed his leadership. So, you know, because of his abilities, He was a ruler of thousands. Then there were rulers of hundreds. Maybe they didn't have the ability that the guy that was the ruler of thousands did, but there was still plenty of ability to handle the hundreds that he was put in charge of. Well, then there were those that were still good guys. But you know what? 50s would be more relative to their skill set. That would be a term you would hear in the everyday world and the world of personnel and hiring. Their skill set. Their skill set fits groups of 50s more than hundreds or thousands. And then there were those that were really, really good, but they're more your one-on-one kind of person. So they were rulers of tens. So they were divided out based on their abilities to carry out the task. Okay, so these folks then judged people continually. So now you just don't have this gigantic line lined up to see Moses. There was a pecking order, so to say. If you would answer to this guy, if you were part of the thousands, this guy had a name. The rulers of hundreds, he had a name. The rulers of 50s, he had a name. You go to him. Don't take that to Moses. Take it to him. I've often said this. That's a lot of the way that it should work when it comes down to church staff. If you have other ministers and there are things that they can take care of, then allow them to do so. This is the biblical premise of it. If you can talk to an associate pastor, if you can talk to one of the other staff ministers, then do so. Why? Because trust me when I tell you, there's a huge line of people who are waiting to talk to the pastor, okay? See if you can get some resolve, all right? The most difficult cases, though, there were going to be cases that these rulers of tens and 50s and hundreds and thousands, that was a little bit more than they can handle. They're going, you know what? This one's kind of above my head. This one's out of my pay grade. So at that particular point, what they would do is that those were the people that they would send on over to Moses. If they could handle it down here on this level, then it never got to Moses, all right? But if it was one of the situations and circumstances that they could not handle, then it went all the way up the chain and was brought before Moses. And notice what it said, the most difficult cases were the ones that were brought to Moses. And Moses finally got everyone involved. He got the people around him involved. It was good for the people. It was good for him. He didn't have that load to where he was going to burn out. And not only that, it was challenging for the people. If everybody had to see that just that one person, as I was thinking about this, I thought about doctor's offices and how they're staffing them now with nurse practitioners and PAs. And it's funny that if it's something that somebody goes for and it's something like a cough or a cold or they need a prescription because they have a sinus infection, they don't mind seeing a PA. But when it comes down to something pretty difficult, they're like, man, I don't want to see the PA today. I want to see the doctor because the doctor evidently has more wisdom and knowledge in regard to those kind of cases. That kind of made me chuckle when I thought about what was taking place here. So the tough cases were the ones that got up to Moses, and now everybody is involved. There's some ownership that's going on. There's some ownership taking places, and not only were people getting involved, it also became a relief to all those that were standing in line that needed to be ministered to. So let me ask you a question today. All right, it always comes down to application. So as we look at this particular scripture and as we see, the circumstance of Jethro and Moses and the people of Israel as related to our scripture, here's your question. How involved are you in serving God? Now, that can be a tough question. For some of you, it may not be. How involved are you in serving God? If you are involved in serving God, I want to ask you and put forth a couple other challenges. Why do you do what you do? Yet, do you really do it for the honor and glory of the Lord and for the sake of the kingdom? And are you doing it with a pure heart, or are you complaining about it? The reason I say that is because sometimes you might be one of those people that's overwhelmed even in serving God because you're in that nursery every week of the month, or you're the person that's always having to do this, and you are so busy serving that you're not worshiping. So, how involved are you could mean that maybe you need to get involved if you're not serving. And for some of you, it may mean that you need to step back from some things and let some other people help out, get some other people involved. You can't do it all. There are other people who should be ready and willing to step in so that none of you wind up having a major case of burnout, and yet you still have that opportunity to be able to worship and serve the Lord as you come together, okay? It truly is a joy. But I'll tell you, I've used this term before in our church. I said, there are times that I get tired in the ministry. I've never gotten tired of the ministry, but I've been tired in the ministry when there have just been so many things taking place and so many things going on. And you know what? I've learned over the years, I'm not one of those people that has a big problem delegating authority and saying, here, look, I want you to handle this. Take care of this. You know, I'm going to hand this over to you. So that lightens my burden, but it also helps out with the people. It gives you a place to serve as well. So evaluate it based on this scripture as far as you're serving. Pastors are the worst for taking on too much and not delegating authority. Guys, preachers, don't find yourself getting burned out because you feel like you have to do it all. Here's a great, great lesson that's recorded in a great, great book that had great, great response by the people. And best of all, it had God's blessing, okay? So they judged the people. The difficult cases went to Moses. He got people involved. And the question is, how involved are you, okay? God's call to active duty comes to all believers, not just to some. He didn't just save you to come to church and sit on a pew. He has called you to action. He has called you to be part of his army. He has called you to get in the game, okay? Where are you when it comes down to that? How active are you using the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you, okay? You must be involved to be blessed. I want to say that one more time because I believe that to be that important. You must be involved to be blessed. How blessed are you today? Maybe we need to take some of the words and some of the advice of Jethro to Moses today as we consider that. Now, we're going to continue on with our look at the Exodus. I want to go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week, we're actually going to be looking at Exodus chapter 19. So we're taking a step on into the next chapter. And next week, we're going to discuss good words from Exodus chapter 19 and particularly verse 8. So my prayer today for you and for the rest of this week is to ponder what it is that God has told you through his word today. Because if you came looking for a blessing, then I will make you the promise. God is going to give you that blessing. Maybe he's given you a little correction. Maybe he said there are some things you need to step up and do. Maybe there are some things he said you need to step away from so that somebody else will have the opportunity to get involved and do some things. Whatever it is, I pray that you will deal with him today and may what you've learned today become an action plan for you, not only today, but for tomorrow and the future as you go forward. How about let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today thanking you and praising you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you that you still use people to accomplish your will. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us a particular set of skills that you want us to utilize for the kingdom. So Father, I pray right now that you will help us to be, first of all, actively involved in using those talents and abilities to serve you. But Lord, I also pray for that group of people who are over-involved. They're doing so much and their life is so much about service that they're missing the worship aspect of the whole situation. God, I pray that you will bring them relief, and I pray that you will not only help them to see the relief, but that you will help them to relinquish some of the reins, that they may come back into the worship atmosphere, and may it be a refreshing, just a refreshing experience that they will have as they draw close to you again, as they get excited again about not only worshiping you, but Lord, also about serving you. So Lord, we pray that you will bring those pieces together. We know it's important because we read about it in your word today. It was important to Moses. It is important to each and every one of us. So Father, help us as we go forward to evaluate these circumstances in our personal lives, in our family's life, in our work life, and then Lord, also in our church life. And Lord, we pray that you will give us a good week. May we be the Jethro to somebody today that might need a plan. And Father, just help us to be instruments in your hand for the sake of the kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. As always, I want to invite you to come and be a part of our in-person worship at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be familiar with the area of Oak Ridge, we are right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services start at 10:45. We would love to have you come and just be a part of the family of God as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And who knows, maybe God will lead you our way and He'll take the talents and abilities He's given you to serve through Central Baptist Church to reach the world with the gospel message. I pray that you're going to have a great, great week. Look for the divine opportunities God has out there for you, and I will look forward to seeing you Sunday. God bless. Have a great, great week.